Welcome to Curious Campus, a discussion about science, discovery, and culture, brought to you by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm your host, Tom Lujack. Our guests today are focused on helping people with hearing loss. According to the Hearing Loss Association of America, only one in five Americans who need a hearing aid use one. The main reason is that hearing aids, which consumers must obtain with a prescription, often are not covered by insurance. So cost is a barrier, often running into the thousands of dollars. But a change in federal law has allowed hearing devices to now be sold directly to consumers without the need of a prescription. On today's program, we're talking about those over-the-counter hearing devices. We'll also look at another economical option that is gaining traction to help people with hearing loss. It's technology called hearing loops. Yi Hu is an associate professor in UWM's College of Engineering and Applied Science. He's developed an over-the-counter hearing device. And Juliet Sturkins is a retired audiologist and the national advocate of hearing loops for the Hearing Loss Association of America. Well, before we begin talking about these over-the-counter hearing devices, Juliet, let's begin with you. Give us some background on the basics of hearing loss and hearing aids.
Well, what we need to talk about first is a little bit about hearing. And hearing is really the awareness of us to sound and us assigning meaning to sound. So that begins with vibrations that travel through the air, hitting our eardrum, going through the middle ear, the inner ear, through the auditory nerve, up to the brain, where meaning is assigned and where you hear. And sound really consists of a number of different sounds from low to high pitches. And when we talk about hearing loss, a person is said to have hearing loss if they are not able to hear sounds that are 20 decibels or softer. But for most people, when they lose their hearing, they don't just lose their hearing across the board, they lose their ability to hear some sounds more than others. As we age, we lose the high-pitched hearing, and it's a little bit like turning the treble down on the radio. When that treble sound becomes fainter and fainter, it becomes more difficult to understand, and the clarity of sound goes away. And that's where hearing aids come into play. Hearing aids then help compensate for very specific ranges where the hearing loss occurs. And of course, to determine if a person has hearing loss, an audiologist will measure their hearing and graph their hearing ability in an audiogram. In that audiogram, the testing isn't just how well they hear sounds, but also how well they hear speech and speech in noise, because that's the biggest complaint that people have, is that as they lose their hearing, they have trouble understanding speech in background of noise. Now, if the hearing loss is determined and a person obtains a hearing aid, he or she will then go through a number of appointments to get their hearing aids fitted by this audiologist. And every time when they need an adjustment, they need to go back and see their audiologist again for that adjustment. And that individualized and customization of the hearing aids takes up a lot of time and is also what makes hearing aids quite expensive for the end user.
And so, Juliet, given that background, there are some other options. And that means, in addition to being able to get that expensive hearing aid, there are over-the-counter devices. And this is where we want to bring E into the conversation. So what is an over-the-counter device, and how does it differ from those more expensive hearing aids that Juliet was talking about?
Over-the-counter hearing aids offer people with mild to moderate hearing loss a more affordable alternative to an expensive hearing aid. You purchase them at a retailer, such as a drugstore, or you may purchase them online. In my research lab at UW-Milwaukee, we have built a functioning OTC hearing aid prototype. Our prototype comes with a smartphone app that allows the users to do most things that an audiologist does during a patient's visit to see them. The user can download the app on their smartphone and then connect to the hearing aid devices from the app. After doing a hearing test to obtain the audiogram, the user can customize the hearing devices to meet their needs in different environments. Once the user finds the setting in each environment, they can save it for future use. For example, with a name for the setting, such as watching TV. Note that this is how our OTC hearing aid prototype operates. Not all OTC devices operate that way.
Just generally speaking, how much of a difference between the price for that more expensive hearing aid that you might be prescribed by a physician to one of these over-the-counter devices like the one that you're developing in your lab?
Yeah, the one I am developing in my lab can have a cost such as sub-$200 compared to probably $1,500 more for a pair of traditional hearing aids.
Wow, so that could open up the opportunity for helping people with hearing loss immensely, because a lot of people don't have $1,500 or more for those more expensive devices.
That's correct, exactly.
Yeah. How long did it take you to develop this app approach for the hearing device?
Well, the whole process takes, almost 10 years. I started the journey of developing the hearing aids shortly after I joined the UWM. So it's been a quite while. We had to change the development strategies in the journey, but finally we got a working device.
Well, we're going to come back and talk more about that device. Sure. and the advantages that it brings. But I want to go back to Juliet for a moment and talk again about hearing loss, because I suspect as all of us age, we're going to hear or notice some drop off, I presume. So far, I'm okay. I haven't turned my headsets up too high. I haven't been standing in front of stereo speakers, but I suspect that it's coming. What happens, Juliet, if I or others who are beginning to experience hearing loss don't do anything about it? Is it okay just to ignore it?
Well, there are some fairly recent studies, large studies, that have documented that if you have hearing loss and over time you are going to find yourself kind of withdrawing from people, you're not hearing as well, it takes more effort to go out to a restaurant, and it's going to affect how your relationships are working. And that type of social isolation, and I'm not saying this applies to everybody, but to a significant number, people who experience hearing loss will socially isolate. And that may contribute to dementia. It doesn't mean it's going to cause dementia, but if you are a person for whom you have a risk, if you have a risk in your family for developing dementia, having hearing loss is just one more contributing factor. And there's a large study in France, and there's a large study underway by Johns Hopkins that's going to evaluate whether wearing hearing aids can help reduce that social isolation and may actually stave off the development of dementia, which of course is huge. And it's easy to understand when you have hearing loss, your brain has to work harder to hear. And if you are working harder to hear, you have less energy left to be funny or to remember what people said or to be a safe driver in your car or to pay attention to what's happening around the house. In fact, dog owners and pet owners with hearing loss experience a greater number of falls because they don't hear the pet underfoot, and they turn around and they stumble and they fall. And indirectly, it's the hearing loss that has contributed to that.
Well, and there's course, one other problem in the home, and that is the people around you, right? Because not only do you run the risk of hurting yourself, but you certainly are running the risk of annoying people that you're trying to communicate with.
terribly. And of course, for most of us, it's not a matter of if you're going to develop hearing loss as you age, but when that happens in that department. Tom, I hope you chose your parents wisely. I didn't do so well in that department. So I have, my father used hearing aids and my mom has been wearing hearing aids for 15 years. It means that it's important that we address hearing loss sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And that's the advice that I would like to give the listeners, is that they get their hearing tested.
Great, great. Well, I want to come back to E now, because E, hearing the challenges of what happens in your life, or could happen if you don't have some sort of device to help reverse the problems that come with hearing loss, means that you have to find something that works for you. And we did some research, and we found back in 2017, Congress actually passed a law that allowed hearing-assisted devices to be sold without a prescription. And that was a pretty big deal, because for a long time, you had to have a prescription. So talk about the products that are out on the market right now that you don't need a prescription for.
There are non-prescription hearing devices on the market right now. But the FDA has not yet issued any final guidelines about the OTC hearing aids, although it's been like 5 years almost. Following the presidential executive order in last July, the FDA finally issued a landmark proposal in last October to improve access to hearing aids technology for millions of people with mild to moderate hearing loss. So at that time, the FDA issued a draft of the guidelines for the OTC hearing aids regulation, and they asked for public comments to be submitted by January 28th of this year. That's 2022. The final version of the guidelines has not been released yet, but it is expected to be out anytime soon. Without the official FDA guidelines, the consumer cannot really determine which products are effective and which are junk. So what is mostly available right now are called PSAPs, that is the personal sound amplification products. PSAPs are less robust than the prescribed hearing aids from audiologists. They usually cannot be programmed or customized to individual users, and they do not include a hearing test function to obtain the audiograms. Also, they may only be boosting the volume of the sounds without regard to individual frequencies. In contrast, our prototype device is more robust. It works like an entry-level hearing aid. That makes it a revolutionary device.
Yeah. Does it use Bluetooth as a part of your technology?
Yes. Specifically, it's a low-energy version of Bluetooth. It's called Bluetooth Low Energy with the shorthand BLE.
Got it. And so many of us are familiar with that, you know, using portable speakers and, you know, any number of other devices that rely on it. So if your device is successful, and other people, once the FDA does set its guidelines, come up with good over-the-counter devices that people can really rely on, what does that mean for the audiologists that are out there that currently are working on the more expensive hearing aids?
Yeah, that's a great question. For us, we are not out to eliminate or even minimize the audiologist involvement just for the purpose to reduce the cost. For us, it's more about serving the needs of underserved population. For example, for people who live in remote areas, they have very limited access to audiologists. That means under current hearing aids regulations, they will have limited access to the hearing aids technology that may improve their daily lives. The situation actually is very similar for people who have no means of transportation to visit audiologists, or for people who find it difficult to schedule a visit to see audiologists due to their very busy professional life. In addition, if you only use the hearing aid devices when you need the device, for instance, when you watch TV, then why do you purchase an expensive pair of hearing aid devices.
So for some people, they don't have to necessarily be plugged into a device all the time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that's where your device provides huge advantages because you're not putting thousands of dollars out for something that you might not need all the time.
Exactly. We actually hope, users can purchase our devices in a similar way to consumer electronics. So that would be easier for them, we believe. And in fact, in the future, we also hope to offer an artificial intelligence-based cloud subscription to help users monitor their hearing loss progression over time. That way, they will know when they need to see an audiologist. That is when they develop very severe hearing loss.
So, Juliet, you work with a lot of audiologists. How do you think they'll react to these new devices?
Well, there will always be people who have more severe hearing loss and more complex problems who will require the services of an audiologist. And I am certainly an advocate for people who should initially always be seen by an audiologist to rule out any malignant causes, any tumors, any abnormal growths in the middle ear. That obviously, if you start losing your hearing, how do you know what the cause is, right? So that should be tested. And certainly the hearing aid market is large enough that, for these so-called beginner hearing aids, there is a market for this because cost is a big issue for a lot of people. My concern is, and also the concern of the audiology community, is that people may be discouraged when they think that an over-the-counter device or an over-the-counter hearing aid isn't helping them, that nothing is going to help them, where in fact they need a lot more hand-holding or adjustment of the hearing aid. And what audiologists do to make these hearing aids fit to the person's degree of hearing loss is they do what is called a real ear test. It's an objective test that verifies the performance of the hearing aid directly in the user's ear. And of course, that type of testing can't be done with an over-the-counter device. But having said that, again, there's plenty of people who end up not getting help when they really need it.
And at the end of the day, that really is the most important thing, that whether it's a hearing aid or assisted listening or hearing device, that people get what they need to be able to avoid those other problems. This is Curious Campus, a discussion about science, discovery, and culture, brought to you by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm your host, Tom Lujak, and today we're talking with Yi Hu, a professor of electrical engineering in UWM's College of Engineering and Applied Science, and Juliet Sturkins, a retired audiologist and the national advocate of hearing loops for the Hearing Loss Association of America. Yi, let's talk about your research a little bit more. You mentioned that you've been working in the lab at UWM for 10 years on this,
yeah.
But let's go even farther back. How did you come up with the idea of starting on this research in the first place?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a very poor area in China where the local industry was coal mining. That's where my parents and my grandparents lived. I had a very close relationship with my grandfather. Around 2005, my grandfather began complaining about his hearing loss. Mostly, I think it's age-related. We knew that hearing aids could help him in a great deal, but he had no access to audiologists in a very small town, and hearing aids were just too expensive for him. That's when I started my journey of developing hearing aids devices. My PhD and postdoctoral training were in speech signal processing and noise reduction for cochlear implants. So cochlear implants is an auditory prosthetic device for profoundly deafened individuals, so they can restore hearing to those individuals. I have been doing research in assistive hearing devices for almost 20 years, so my background was well-suited to hearing aid research and development. I started the project shortly after I moved to UW Milwaukee in 2009, before I was at UT Dallas. After a while, I just realized that I would need to develop an entirely new device from scratch. Along the way, we had to change our strategy a few times. In other words, we had to pivot a few times just to find the way to move forward. But luckily, finally, we got working over-the-counter hearing aid prototype just recently. I'm hoping that we can bring this product to the mass market next year, I guess.
Well, we're going to talk more about your future plans in just a moment, but, sure. But I want to jump back to Juliet, because Juliet, earlier you were talking about how important it is for people to get a proper diagnosis, to find out if what is happening to them is just the normal course of events as we grow older, or if there's a more serious problem. Let's talk about what, in fact, are some of the more serious or difficult hearing loss problems that that you try to address.
You know, Tom, the most challenging issue that people are dealing with is called the cocktail party effect. And, you know, people with normal hearing are able to focus their attention to sounds. I can listen to the birds. I can listen to a door squeak. I can hear the doorbell. I can hear a phone ring. When we become older, it becomes harder to selectively listen. As we lose our hearing, it becomes harder to selectively listen. But when you use hearing aids, you are going through life wearing two microphones on your ears. And as an audio broadcaster, you know that microphones pick up what's loudest, what's closest, and the microphone doesn't know the difference. So that is a problem that we're dealing with. And the other misconception is that people think correcting hearing loss is the same as correcting eyeglass, vision difficulties. And it's not. Hearing aids do not give the listener normal hearing. Hearing aids at best correct for about half of their degree of hearing loss, and they only have a limited effective range. So within those parameters, over-the-counter devices like E is developing can work and can work quite well. But the expectations have to be tempered. They have to be hearing aids will help you, but only in a limited range, and best if they're used where it's quieter.
You know, I'm really, really interested in what you've described as this cocktail effect, because now it's been a couple of years since I've been in big crowds because of COVID, but I remember being at large events where there are hundreds of people around you and everybody's talking and there's this sort of hum or buzz of activity. And even as a younger person, I found it really difficult to sometimes override that noise in the background to be able to hear and understand what a person is saying. E, as you think about the loss that people like me, or at least the problems people like me have in that situation, could you talk about how the device that you're developing would override that? Would it help somebody like me who occasionally may be in a setting where I just can't sort it all out?
I can talk a little bit about that. The cocktail party effect is actually a unique ability of human beings. It involves high-level cognitive processing in the human brain. The signal processing in hearing aids, in contrast, is more about amplification. It is designed to filter out noises, but it can only do so much. That being said, no new applications of artificial intelligence, such as those using deep learning, have the potential to further reduce the noise. We are doing research in this area of noise reduction, and we hope that we can soon bring this research into the everyday hearing aid devices.
Oh, that's really exciting. You know, I hope to be in those big crowds again soon as we all come back.
We all do.
Yes. Yeah. Juliet, I understand there's something else called the hearing loops that could be effective. Talk about those and where they fit in on the scale of this different technology we've been discussing.
Okay, Tom, how much time have you got? Hearing loops, in effect, are used in conjunction with hearing aids. Like I said earlier, hearing aids have limitations. Hearing aids work quite well where it's quieter, where the person you're trying to hear is 4, 5, 6 feet away, and where there isn't a lot of reverberation. In places where there is distance involved or background noise or reverberation, like in a church or in a meeting room, that's where a hearing loop can benefit the hearing aid user. The hearing loop, in effect, broadcasts the audio from a microphone on a lectern, on a stage, from a sound system via electromagnetic waves, via changes in the magnetic field, direct into the hearing aid if the hearing aid comes equipped with a telecoil. And it in effect, the microphone on the lectern becomes the microphone to the hearing aid. And I'm sure E knows exactly what I'm talking about. There is direct transference from sound. And that has the potential to give people who otherwise say, I can't hear in church, I can't hear in the theater, they can benefit by using a hearing loop to bring that sound direct in their ear by way of the hearing loop. E and I have already spoken about the fact that it would be wonderful to equip his devices with a telecoil. A hearing aid must have a telecoil, because that would double the function of the hearing aid. It wouldn't just pick up sounds through the microphone, but it would also be capable of picking up signals through the telecoil embedded in the hearing aid.
Wow, and that's really, really important given how many venues we go to where we rely upon the broadcasts that come from microphones. E, let me ask you the question. Is it possible that your technology, the assisted device that you're coming up with, could incorporate these hearing loops into it?
Yes, it's something called telecoil. You can certainly incorporate such components into the hearing aid devices. It's just increasing the print circuit board size a little bit and increases the cost a little bit. But it's certainly doable.
Wow, because that could be a game changer, again, for people who are in certain settings where they need some assistance in order to hear what's going on.
Exactly.
Well, Juliet, you mentioned that it costs the venue to put in hearing loops, right? There has to be some accommodation. Is there any remedy for places that don't have the technology to connect to those loops?
Well, first of all, it's the law. So the Americans with Disabilities Act requires that public venues are accessible for people in wheelchairs, provide bathrooms that are big enough for wheelchairs, and also provide assistive technology for people who are hard of hearing. I believe that there is a tax deduction for businesses who install the technology if they want to become more accessible. And a lot of places of worship, houses of worship, have installed its technology because they want to be more accessible for people who are hard of hearing. And when I started advocating in 2009, there were maybe half a dozen loops in Wisconsin. We are now approaching over 800 hearing loops, nearly 500 churches, some 30 or 35 theaters and performing arts centers have installed the technology. And it's a boon to people who are hard of hearing.
Juliet, you're so passionate about this. How did you get involved in making this sort of your life's work?
It helps people hear better. And that's really what this is about. Hearing aids have come a long way. Hearing aids have improved. I'm looking forward to the product that E is developing. But ultimately, the hearing aids have limitations. And the hearing loop essentially provides a workaround. It makes people who are hard of hearing so much happier with their device that they have in their ear. And sometimes consumers don't even know they have that feature built into their hearing aid. So lots of consumer education is going on behind the scenes, and that's what HLAA, the Hearing Loss Association of America, is working on.
Well, you both have done a great job getting me interested in learning more about the, I think I have a little bit of hearing loss because I do have those moments. So I might now be inspired to go ahead and see whether or not there's something out there that might help me in those large crowds. Doing just fine with the headset on here in the radio studio, but maybe something down the road awaits my future so I can be really, really comfortable in those settings. Thank you so much. Just a fascinating conversation.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you very much. And Tom, do get tested.
I will. Well, that's today's program, and we thank you for listening. Curious Campus is produced by Gennaro Armas and Laura Otto. Our engineer is Jason Reavy, and I'm your host, Tom Lujack. If you enjoyed our program, please consider subscribing on your favorite podcast app.